Today, on this episode of the PureDirect Special Spotlight.
So neuromodulation is recognized as a viable acute and preventive option across several non-invasive modalities. The guidelines reaffirm several non-invasive neuromodulation options.
Today, Drs. Doherty and Alani joined the podcast to discuss neuromodulation in migraine care, insights from 2025 IHS guidelines, in this PureDirect Specialist Spotlight. All opinions expressed are those of the presenters and do not necessarily reflect the views of this educational initiative's supporters.
Hello, I'm Dr. Carrie Doherty, Program Director of the Headache Fellowship and Professor of Clinical Neurology at MedStar Georgetown University Hospital in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Dr. Jessica Ilani, Director of the Headache Center at Georgetown and Professor of Clinical Neurology at MedStar Georgetown.
Thanks for joining me today, Jessica.
It's my pleasure to be here, Carrie.
Today, we're going to take a look at the 2025 International Headache Society Neuromodulation Guidelines and how neuromodulation fits in alongside the landscape of migraine treatment. These recommendations come at a critical time, especially with significant advances in both device-based therapies and targeted migraine pharmacology. Would you provide an overview of the main points from the neuromodulation guidelines?
I'd be happy to. So neuromodulation is recognized as a viable acute and preventive option across several non-invasive modalities. The guidelines reaffirm several non-invasive neuromodulation options. These include the supraorbital stimulator, the non-invasive vagal nerve stimulator, the single pulse transcranial magnetic stimulator, and the remote electrical neuromodulation device. Each device has evidence supporting their use in either acute treatment of migraine, preventive treatment of migraine, or in certain modalities, both applications. The guidelines also differentiate recommendations based on quality and consistency of evidence available for each modulation device. Guidelines highlight their usefulness of the use of neuromodulation in patients who have contraindications either to medications or contraindications to having other medical issues that would make it easier for them to use a device. Those that have medication overuse, they're overusing their acute treatments maybe too often, and you're now worried they're going to end up with medication overuse headache, or in patients who prefer non-pharmacological care. It complements, doesn't replace, established therapies. Guidelines clearly position neuromodulation within a stepped or stratified care model. You can use your device up front for certain patients, or you can layer it in preventive treatment with other medications. You can add in things like behavioral therapy and lifestyle, which can really help overall improve a patient's outcomes. It's important to remember that neuromodulation is one of several evidence-based options. And these guidelines focus on tailoring combinations to individual patient profiles. So, Carrie, let's now talk about how we combine neuromodulation with current migraine treatments such as CGRP receptor antagonists. Would you discuss these approaches?
Yes, of course. In clinical practice, the patient population that you highlighted that I think speaks to me the most with neuromodulation are those that have the preference for non-pharmacologic management, what ends up being all of them. All of these different medications have potential side effect profiles, and we have options now that neuromodulation has evidence and a guideline that gives us guidance on what that evidence is for, either acute or preventive. So we have a range of possibilities with different mechanisms and tolerability profiles in terms of both devices and medications, and we can tailor that treatment for what the patient wants. Neuromodulation provides an additional option that can be added without increasing systemic burden, which is what most patients are interested in. The guidelines underscore that multimodal therapy is often the most effective approach. A patient may benefit from a preventive oral medication, occasional device-based therapy, as well as you discussed, behavioral treatments such as cognitive behavioral therapy or biofeedback. And everyone needs targeted acute medications, but if they're using them too frequently, neuromodulation is helpful. The key is individualized care and choosing combinations that fit the frequency, comorbidities, and patient preferences. These guidelines highlight that no single treatment pathway fits all patients, and clinicians should match treatment intensity to disease impact. Well, Jessica, I really enjoyed our conversation. Ultimately, what the 2025 guidelines reinforce is that migraine management isn't one size fits all. Neuromodulation adds another evidence-based tool that integrates well with both traditional and emerging therapies.
I agree. The more flexible and personalized our approach is, the better the outcomes are going to be for our patients. It's been my pleasure to chat with you. Thank you, Carrie. And thank you to our audience for watching.
And that's today's Specialist Spotlight. Thank you for joining us for this episode of PeerDirect Medical News Podcast. For more stories like these, visit us at peerdirect.com. Thoughts, comments, or suggestions, please leave us a review on your preferred listening platform or email us at editorial@peerdirect.com. Listen and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also download our Amazon Alexa Flash Briefing, Medical News Roundup, and just ask, "What's my flash briefing?" Thanks today to our guests, Drs. Doherty and Alani. Join me next time for an episode where we cover the latest stories in the world of medicine.